Okay. Look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 through 28. There's been all kinds of things happening. They're going to keep happening, by the way. We're just going to see more because Christ is coming back. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I got 10 minutes. Whew. Man, that's not fair. It takes that long to get started for me, Roddy. I'll get my introduction in, won't I? I only did one paper, Rod, because I knew I didn't have much time. Now I ain't going to get the front part of it. That's all right. I hope you're praying for this coming Lord's Day. Let's pray that people come and get saved. Let's do all we can to get people to come. Amen? And there, look at this verse 25. Now this is talking about the revelation of Christ when Christ comes back. There's two parts of the coming of Christ. The rapture, which the Bible calls the mystery. When Jesus comes in the clouds, he's going to take the Christians up. That's called the rapture, or the Bible calls it the mystery. But the revelation is when Jesus literally comes down to the earth. We're going to actually be with him. When that happens, we'll be with him for 7 years already. We'll have brand new bodies. We'll come riding back on horses. Amen. The Calvary. Dun, 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 dun. Let me give you some thoughts about this. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars. And upon earth, distress of nations were with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, after they see all these things, then, after all these things that you're reading about, you can read about them in the book of Revelation too. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen for that glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And Brother Mike preached a great message Sunday night, and he tried to challenge us. We're really in the last hour. We really have to be thinking, what can we do today? Because we might not have tomorrow. There's got to be an urgency in my heart. There has to be an urgency in your heart that we need to reach people now because we might not have tomorrow. I preached a baby that only lived not even one day did that baby live that I preached Monday. And there was a lot of young people. And I said, you know what? This baby's crying out from heaven saying, you don't know when you're going to die. You better be prepared to die. Now, all babies go to heaven. We know that. But ladies and gentlemen, when people come to accountability, when they get old enough to understand that they're a lost sinner and they need to get Christ to get saved, then they're accountable. If they don't get saved, they go to hell when they die. I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, I see these days coming. Christians cannot be lackluster. I cannot be complacent. I cannot let my preaching become complacent. There must be an urgency in the preaching. There must be an urgency in my life to know that time is running out and that this could be the very last day that someone has to get saved, that they might be one heartbeat, 1 second, 1 day from hell. And I pray, dear God, with all my heart, in the 10 minutes that you give me, help me to read those Old Testament scriptures that you put in my heart. Help us to let the word burn deep into our soul, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know you see in world conditions of earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and people, there's all over the world people are facing. Now we got oil spilling out of the ocean all through, and there's all kinds of catastrophe. The European common market is ready to collapse. The euro is ready to collapse. Our borders, they don't know what to do with the borders because people are coming over from the borders and they can't stop them. It's not so much what's worse than the people coming over is the drug traffic that they're bringing with them. And it just seems like our country and all countries of the world are in perplexity with problems. Who can say amen to that? Can I tell you it's not going to get any better? It's just going to get worser, if I can, or get worse, or whatever the word, that word, I don't think there's a word called worser, but it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Amen? Just like my mom used to tell me, it ain't no word such as ain't. Richard, there's no word such as ain't, but it ain't going to get no better. It really isn't. By the way, would you pray for my friend, Brother Joe Tutak? His daddy went to be with the Lord 2 days ago. I got to be going Friday. That's where Friday I'm going to Toledo. We got a funeral. I'm not going to be preaching it, but we'll be with Joe and Cindy. They're having a funeral on Friday morning, so we'll be going there on Friday morning. Tammy's singing. You never know when God's going to call us, do we? I'm glad he was saved. I'm glad he got saved. And of course, Joe and Cindy and Mom Bauer, she was real faithful at Lighthouse and good Christian people. And anyways, pray for them in their time of heartache and loss right now. I wanted to read this to you because we read about this, and you read about the book of Revelation, and man, you can read all about these things that are coming. But you know what? I got thinking, Brother Mark, Evangelist Rod Black, a lot of people know about the New Testament. Not many people think about the Old Testament. Did you know these signs that we're seeing today, these things that are happening, did you know that they were foretold in the Old Testament long before the New Testament was ever written? I mean, before the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, before he wrote in 90 AD, before he wrote the book of Revelation, I'm going to tell you right now, God's Old Testament prophets, Johnny, they were talking about the day of Christ coming back, the revelation, the judgment. And I just want to give you, if you want to follow, you can. If not, just listen to me. But let me give you about five things about the Old Testament prophecy, and we got like 7 minutes here to do it in. Isaiah, I'll just read them to you. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Christ was born. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy sinners thereof out of it. And for the stars of heaven and the constellations. Why are they always so worried about what's going on up there? And they keep saying Planet X, and we got comets, and they're always worried about something crashing in. You know why they're worried about something crashing in? There are going to be things crashing into this earth during the trib. We're on the brink of this crashing that it's talking about. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth. Don't say the sun can't be darkened. Remember Mount St. Helens? Remember that? The sun was darkened over there. Hello? How many are still with me? The sun shall be darkened in its going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine, because see, the moon gets her light from the sun. So if you black out the sun, there's no reflection from the sun. So the moon goes dark, because the light from the moon comes from the sun. See, when you put the light of the sun out, everything's in darkness. In verse 11, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay hold of the haughtiness of the terrible. And verse 13 says this, and I underline a phrase. Verse 13 says, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts. Here's number one. In the day of his fierce anger. Isaiah 13 talks about number one, the day of God's fierce anger. Isaiah 34, number two. Isaiah chapter 34. And by the way, I'm just giving you a couple. I just wrote a few because I knew I only had a few minutes. 34:4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all the hosts shall fall down as a leaf falls from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. And verse 8 says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Verse 8, Isaiah 34:8. For it's the day of the Lord's vengeance in the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. I'm going to tell you right now, you better leave those little Jewish people alone. God loves those little Jewish people. They got to be saved just like you. But the Bible says the Jew first and also the Greek. You hear that little Edwards Grill quote that tonight? The Jew first and also to the Greek. So you got the day of, in Isaiah 13:13, you got the day of his first anger. Isaiah 34:8, the day of the Lord's vengeance. Quickly look at the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Joel 2:1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it's nigh at hand. Verse 2, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains of a great people, and strong, for there hath not any been ever like, there hath not been ever the like. That's what it says in Matthew 24, 21, Eddie, that the worst time that the people's ever known is coming. Matthew 24, 21 talks about the tribulation. Mark, right here is a scripture referring to the same thing. It says, there had not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. You think the world's got troubles now? The world is ready to see even greater judgment beyond what man, since Adam and Eve, they've never seen what's coming yet. You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. That's what the Bible, you ain't seen it yet. We think this is bad. What's coming is even going to be far beyond what we see right now. Hard to believe that, isn't it? Joel chapter 2, verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Wow. Verse 30 and 31. And I will show the wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. In Isaiah 13, 13, you got the day of his vengeance. In Isaiah 34, 8, you got the day of the 13, the day of his first anger. 34, 8, Isaiah, the day of the Lord's vengeance. Joel 2, 1, the day of the Lord. Joel 2, 31, the great, terrible day of the Lord. Look at that verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Mike, Cap, we got to get people saved. There's a day coming when they're not going to have an opportunity to get saved. If we don't reach them now, tomorrow might be too late. Then let me give you two more scriptures. It's already 8 o'clock, and I'll just turn to them. Zephaniah chapter 1. By the way, there's tons of scriptures. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. It's talking about the day of the Lord's wrath. And I will bring distress upon the men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, and the flesh as a dung. Neither their silver. You know, people are excited about their silver and gold right now. Look, and the New Testament says that the silver and gold's cankered. Don't put your faith in silver and gold. It's going to be worthless. Silver and gold can't save you. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land, all those that turn their face against God. And then Malachi chapter 3. In verse 2, Malachi 3, 2. But who may abide? Ask the question. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? No one's going to be able to stand, Eddie. No one can stand before God. For he is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. How many see that? And then I'll just quote 4:1 and I'll stop. The Bible says in Malachi, for behold, the day cometh. By the way, Zephaniah was the Lord's wrath. Malachi 3:2, the day of his coming. And Malachi 4:1, the day that burns as an oven. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. What I'm trying to say is there's destruction coming. Major destruction beyond measure. Matthew 25:24 says, therefore be ye also ready, For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus said this in John 9:4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Night cometh when no man can work. Can I tell you something? Not only is night coming for America, night's coming for the whole world. You say, well, that guy's a judgment. Judgment's coming. And Cap, what you preach Sunday night, we better get it down deep in our conscience. Michael, we better get it down deep in our conscience, because the night is coming. And one day, we won't be able to work. One day, Christ is going to call. Kenny, if we're going to win people now, we got to do it now, because one day, Ken, you might be driving that big gas semi-truck, Ken, born-again Christian. You might be driving that thing down Cleveland, up there in Cleveland, and all of a sudden the trump of God, da, 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 and Kenny, because he's a born again, man, he's gone, and that old gas truck's going down the road without Kenny holding onto the wheel. Woo! Man, that's going to be a blast. Someone's going to get torched over that. But what the sad part is, we'll be gone. And all that left behind, they will be left to be receive the mark of the beast. And they'll be left behind to go in that great tribulation. Do you have any family and friends that are lost? I used to preach to Pop Bauer all the time. They told me this week that Pop Bauer finally got saved before he died. Gloria always was faithful at Joey's mom, and of course Lighthouse Baptist, and they were real faithful members. Of course, they were members at Heritage Baptist now with Brother Danny. But they said, you know, Pop would always say, I know, preacher, I know, preacher, I know, preacher, I know, I know. Boy, right to the end. But right at the end, Joey kept saying, Pop, you got to be saved. And he said, you're right. He didn't know he was going to die right then either. But he got saved, and a few days later, he died. That's cutting it pretty close. Don't cut it close. If I was you, if I've never saw myself a lost sinner, realize that Christ died just to take you to heaven, it's not being a member of a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a Lutheran church. It's knowing Christ as your personal Savior. I'll say this and we'll quit. I remember years ago, I was a member of a Baptist church, been baptized, a whole ball of wax. And one day I was reading the Bible, I was only 20 years old. Me and Rosie had just been married a few months. And for the very first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner. And for the first time in my life, even though I was a member, prayed in the church, gave money, passed out tracts, they thought, man, this kid from Glean Street, he's an upcoming kid. Man, he's going to be phenomenal, this rich guy with this hood that got saved off the Galena Street. Little gangster. I wasn't even saved. See, I had a profession, but not a possession. Yeah. And for the first time, Brother Mark, I was reading the Bible. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner going to hell. I remember getting down to that old green couch. Like Stella Butcher's, about the color of her dress. It was like an avocado green, like a light green. We paid $110 for the couch, the chairs, the lamps, and everything. We didn't go in no debt. And boy, let me encourage you young people, don't go in debt. Pay cash for what you get. We bought a couch and a chair and love seat and lamps, everything for $110, Grandma. Hold on, $110, lamps and all, and tables. You can't buy that table for that dollar. And a coffee table. And I started to cry because I knew I was going to hell. Rosie was in bed sleeping. I got down on my knees from that old green couch and I said, Dear God, please forgive me of all my sin. Come in my heart and be my Savior. Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose. I want you to be my Savior. That night I asked Jesus Christ to come my heart. That's how you get to heaven.
Yes.
You don't get to heaven by shaking the preacher's hand, because I prayed with the preacher and shook his hand at that church. I knew I needed something when I first went there. I was the only guy with a black leather coat and a hoodlum in that church. I didn't know, I realized that. You got to realize more than that.
Yes.
You got to realize that Christ loves you and died just for you. And that the only way to get to heaven is have a personal relationship. Not enough just to know about Jesus in your head. I knew about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln,
right.
But I never met him.
Right.
So you got to personally invite Christ in your life. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. More than a head knowledge, it's got to be a heart knowledge. That's why the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession, man of salvation. And what I did that night, I asked Christ to save my soul. I said, Lord Jesus, come to my heart and save my soul. And save me from hell and take me to heaven when I die. The Bible says, for whosoever, that means me or you or anybody else.
Right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible is true. So I told those people at the funeral Monday, I said, don't worry about this preacher. I can lie to you. But the Bible is true. God does not lie. The hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. And I said, Lord, save my soul. Come into my heart and save me. Save me from hell and take me to heaven. And you know what? God saved me. Oh, I'm far from being perfect. You can ask anybody that knows me. I'm far from being perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm in perfect standing with God.
Amen.
See, I'm still a sinner, and I'm all done. I'm still a sinner. Still make all kinds of mistakes. I stood full of sins before God, but when Jesus saved me, see, Jesus had no sin. Jesus had no blemishes. And what he did, the Bible says, he gives to us, he imputes. He gives us the righteousness of Christ. He imparts it. He gives it to us for free. That's what grace means. It's unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but he gives it to you. And so now when I stand before God the Father, even though I'm a sinner, all he sees is the holiness and the perfectness of God, of Christ's righteousness. And that's how you get to heaven. You must have the imputed righteousness of Christ, because we have no righteousness of our own. The Bible says all righteous but filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. So you want to have that imputed, that free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to have that free gift, you see. If you never had it, you need to take it tonight, because you might not ever have another chance to do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the free gift of eternal life. I'm so glad Jesus loved us so much. He loved everyone here, even all the children. That he came from heaven and was born in Bethlehem of a virgin, so he had no sin. And then he lived 33 years a perfect sinless life, and there the perfect sacrifice, sinless Savior, died for all the sins of man. And there he took the cup of all the sins of the world within himself, and he became our sin. For God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he became poor that we might become rich. And Father, I thank you for the wonderful grace of God, that whosoever will may come. And I pray everyone in this building would know the free gift of eternal life. That they wouldn't worry about religion, but they would just get a hold of salvation through Christ. I wonder, before we leave tonight, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. There was a day I asked Christ into my heart. I knew I was a lost sinner, and I asked Christ to save my soul. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. If the rapture calls, I'll go up. How many could raise their hand and say, I'm positive. Thank you. You may put them down. I'm not going to come to anyone. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But it's no mistake that you're here tonight. God doesn't make any mistakes. Tonight, I'm going to encourage you to ask Christ to save your soul. Ask Christ to say, "Dear Jesus, when I die, please take me to heaven." And realize that Jesus died just for you. When he was on the cross, he died just for you. So you, just for you, could go to heaven. It's a personal salvation. And he loves you. And he died and he arose that third day. And the Bible says if you'll just trust him by faith, don't worry about religion. Don't worry about being a Baptist, a Catholic, a Lutheran. Don't worry about religion. Religion don't get anyone to heaven. Get Christ. Get the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Before we go, I'm going to pray, and I promise I will not come to you. I give you my word, and I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray. There might be some men and women, maybe boys and girls here tonight, that say, "Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to be left behind for those coming judgment days, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Preacher, would you pray for me? Pray for me. Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Let's stand and sing a verse. Father, I pray with all my heart, Holy Spirit of God, that in this invitation may the Holy Ghost work in people's hearts. May they see that the day is coming when they won't have an opportunity for Christ. Time's just about run out. Let them see the urgency for their soul tonight, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.